Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I read once again a portion of the gospel lesson for this Sunday from Matthew chapter 18. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, and his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Then the master of that servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, "Pay what you owe." At this, his fellow servant fell down and began begging him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he wasn't willing. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, I want to start out by making sure you understand in terms of today's money the differences between the two debts that were owed. The one servant, who ended up to be a wicked servant, owed the king, the master, 10,000 talents, which today would be somewhere close to $8 billion. And that's huge. And this debt was forgiven him, totally erased. The other servant was indebted to the wicked servant to a tune of 100 denarii. In today's terms, that would be around $13,000. This is a very significant amount, nothing to sneeze at, but, and this is one of the main points of the parable, this amount is next to nothing compared to what the wicked servant owed the king. The wicked servant owed the king 600,000 times more than what the second servant owed the first. And yet, at first, originally, the wicked servant had been forgiven his incomprehensible and unpayable debt to the king. And so, clearly, this parable is about forgiveness of sins, two kinds of forgivenesses. Forgiveness we receive from God, and forgiveness that we give to others. So let me start out with the forgiveness that you are to give to others who sin against you. Not forgiving others who sin against us can easily sneak up on us, can go unnoticed, may not even be realized to be a sin, and can easily be justified. And that is because of a sense of justice that we all have. We all by nature understand the difference between right and wrong to a significant degree. A sin is committed against you or against another person, and you cry out, "Foul! I have been wronged," or "That other person has been wronged." You understand an injustice has been committed. Christians in the Bible are opposed to true injustice. All kinds of passages in Scripture saying this. Just to quote one of them, Jeremiah 22, verse 3, this is what the Lord says, "Administer justice and righteousness. Rescue the victim of robbery from his oppressor. Don't exploit or brutalize the resident alien, the fatherless, or the widow. Do not shed innocent blood. So all people have an inner sense of justice. And it can and should kick in when true justices occur. You'll notice I have two footnotes if you have a copy of the sermon in front of you. And I have those footnotes there because it's really important stuff, but I didn't want to take the time to put it in to encourage you to take a sermon home with you and read those two footnotes because they're really important when it comes to the subjects of justice and injustice today. But again, all people have a sense of justice. Unfortunately, however, our justice can often be corrupted or misused, guided and influenced by our sinful flesh or Satan or the world or all three. The Word of God and the example of God tells you to forgive when someone sins against you. Nowhere in Scripture do you have the command or the right not to forgive. But here's what happens. Person sins against you, and you get angry. Or, in the words of St. Paul, you take into account a wrong suffered. Or you tell another person how so-and-so has sinned against you, so the other person knows how sinful that other person is. You gossip about the person. Or you fail to be merciful and kind to that person who has done you wrong when you could have been merciful and kind. Or bitterness is stirred up within you whenever you think about what that person did to you or said to you. All these are ways of expressing, not forgiving as you should. But forgiveness is what you are to give to the person who sins against you. What about a time limit? Should or can forgiveness toward another run out? Does it have a statute of limitations? This is the question Peter asks just prior to our text. Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? In other words, Lord, how long do I have to continue that, to forgive that person who just constantly sins against me? Seems to me seven times is generous. And Jesus answers, I tell you, not as many as seven, but 70 times seven. 70 times seven. In other words, there is to be no limitation on forgiveness. It is not supposed to expire no matter how often or how severely a person sins against you. And to make the point crystal clear and to give us the greatest motivation to have endless forgiveness toward others, Jesus gives us the example in our text of the king and the servant who owes him billions of dollars compared to the other servant who owes the wicked servant only several thousand dollars. So think of someone who has sinned against you, perhaps seriously, maybe not so seriously, but one who has made life difficult for you, maybe for a day, maybe for many days, maybe for many years, causing you pain and frustration. They were unkind to you, said things to you, turned on you, were unfaithful to you, treated you as if you did not matter, treated you like dirt, took advantage of you, might be a spouse or a former spouse, might be a child or a parent, it could be a brother or a sister, it might be a friend, a stranger, maybe someone in the car next to you, maybe an enemy, someone at work, a student at school, church member, a pastor, somebody who did something they should not have done to you, and you feel it personally. How many times have they done this to you? 7? 70 times 7? 490 times? Even if that is the case, forgiveness is still to be given to them by you. Now, think about how many times you have sinned against God, the true King and true Master. 7? 70 times 7? No, it is right to say that your sins are pretty close to endless. You have piled up a debt 600,000 times greater than any debt on earth that a person has piled up against you. And your debt toward God is incomprehensible and unpayable in this life. Your sins against God are sensed very keenly and personally by God. He is not an impersonal God as if sins do not affect him. All your sins against him are very personal. They wound him. But here's the important question. Does God, the King, have a limit to his forgiveness toward you? When Jesus was bleeding on the cross, was he carefully measuring the amount of blood he shed so that at some point during his crucifixion, he could stop bleeding? Because he only wanted to forgive you some of your sins or most of your sins, but not all of them? Was he keeping track of his time on the cross so that at some point he would come down from the cross because he was not willing to forgive all your sins? And the answer is no. In one of the most beautiful hymns of confession of sins in our hymnary, we ask and we sing, "Wilt thou forgive that sin where I begun? Which is my sin, though it was done before. Wilt thou forgive those sins through which I run and do run still, though still I do deplore?" Will he still forgive? And the answer is yes. For Jesus, though he could have, did not stop bleeding. The Son of God, though he could have, did not come down from the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. All sins are forgiven. Every single last one, even the ones that are still to come. His forgiveness is endless. What does that mean? Well, the wicked servant did not learn what it meant. The king said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. This servant, who had been forgiven the entire debt of $6 billion, said, "I will ignore the king's mercy and forgiveness. I will abandon repentance and trust in this merciful king and master, and therefore I will not be moved to do for others as he has done for me." And so he loses the forgiveness he had previously been given. And he ends up paying it all by himself. And that would take an eternity. So do not forget what this means. "So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brother from your heart." It is not easy to forgive. And when we fall short, we own up and confess our sins, knowing and believing that our entire debt has been paid for by Jesus. We continue through repentance and faith to receive forgiveness. And then we follow Jesus. For in him we have the best example and the best motivation. Some of you may remember back in 2015, a man by the name of Dylan Roof walked into a Bible study at Emmanuel Methodist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. They welcomed him very warmly, but then soon after he joined them, he got up and shot and killed 9 out of 11, including the pastor. By his own admission, he was a racist. He was white and they were all black, and therefore, contrary to true justice, he thought they were not worthy of life. But 2 days later, something very strange happened. The families and survivors were allowed to confront Dylan Roof via video. And the overwhelming message of these Christians, these mothers, fathers, wives, and others, the overwhelming message was, "We forgive you." Amazing. Amazing grace. And so Paul tells us that all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.